Blog Talk Radio.
This is Spreaker Web Radio.
Welcome to AquarianRadio.com.
AquarianRadio.com.
Aloha, this is Enki, you know me as Aquarius, and this is our age, the Satayuga, time to celebrate with us. We have programs on all chakra tantra, love styles and relationship choices, counseling strategies and techniques that you can use at home. We have extraterrestrial radio where we deal with alienology, paranormal people, and we have an experiencers network. We have a section called Ancient Aliens. And the programs therein are Enki Speaks, Nimma, the Mother of Humanity, has her program, and we revise ancient anthropology. And most important of all, we have peace paradigms, because this is the age of peace. Harmony and understanding, sympathy and love abound. No more falsehoods or derisions, mystic crystal dreams and visions. This is Enki. It is I who 300,000 years ago created your race, and 200,000 years ago, it was a lot of fun, made it even better with some of the pretty girls. And it is I who saved you from the flood, and it is I and my beloved Nimma and my son Ningishiga Thoth who are here to help you overcome my runaway son Marduk or Allah, my brother Enlil or Yahweh. And free yourself from all the supposed gods and recognize your own great potential. You have much to teach us. And we, Anunnaki, those of us from Nibiru, welcome full partnership.
And here are your hosts, Janet and Dr. Sasha Lesson.
Aloha and welcome to Aquarian Radio. Today's show is Enki Speaks. Our title for today's show is Enki Begat Noah, and my name is Janet Kirilesen. We're broadcasting live from Maui, Hawaii. Today is January 12th, 2013. I just want to take a little pause here and wish my father a very happy birthday. He would have been 93. He died in 1999 on Easter morning. And what we're uncovering here with our, you know, exploring the Anunnaki is that they had physical immortality, basically. I mean, they probably died after millions and millions of years. So everybody who's died in some way has been murdered because we have been, our longevity has been shortened to these little brief twinkles in time. So anyway, God bless you and I love you, Daddy, wherever you are. On the other side of the veil, wherever we go. So just wanted to honor him today. So thank you. And as I said before, I'm Janet Kirilesen, and this is my co-host, Dr. Sasha Lesson. Welcome to today's show.
Aloha. Actually, we have been tracing, following Zachariah Sitchin's organization of the tablets left by Enki. The great scientist from Nibiru, who, with his sister Nimma and his son Ningishiga, created the hybrid race, the Erectus Homo sapiens that we are. So we've been tracing this whole history with Enki, and one of the most interesting things is that when Enki started having intercourse and making babies with the descendants of the first successful breeder, Adamu or Adam, and then with their children and with their children's children, Adapa could see that the humans were dying, and you know, less than a century, and Enki and the other people from Nibiru kept living and living and living. So Adapa, Enki's son,
kept nagging Enki, please send me to Nibiru so I can have longevity, or he looked at it as immortality, like you guys. And Enki sent him back to Nibiru, but with a note to the king, King Anu, not to give Adapa eternal life or long life, because he wanted him to come back to Earth and breed. And so humans, as Janet pointed out, did not in general have this extreme longevity or immortality. And Adapa didn't get it. But when we get to the person we're going to be talking about today, Noah, whose Sumerian name was Zeasutra, this is a guy who, together with his wife, as we'll see, was really given immortality, not just or at least extreme longevity, and we'll see him that of course Noah is the one that Enki we'll see how special Noah Zeasutra really was, and that ultimately Enki and even Enlil, the commander of the gold mining expedition to Earth, chose as the breeder of the royal line. So he was preserved. And many, many, many years after the Great Flood, which Noah, of course, survived 13,000 years ago, we'll get into that next time, the king of Uruk, named Gilgamesh, actually encountered Zeasutra. And Zeasutra told him how to get some of the herbs that would have given him, Gilgamesh was three quarters Anunnaki or Nibiran, would have given him this extreme immortality. But the very last minute, in the apocryphal description, it says a snake grabbed the herbs that would have given Gilgamesh eternal life and consume them. And so after Gilgamesh and Enkidu, his companion, had gone through all these adventures to finally get this stuff, the snake, because the snake was a symbol for Enki. And so Enki did not, for some reason, we don't know, let us genetically have this extreme long life, and wouldn't let Gilgamesh do it, but he did grant that evidently to Zeasutra. But that, we're jumping ahead of ourselves. Did you want to say something, Janet? You look like you're going to say something.
Well, I thought that Zeasutra was actually given longevity by Enlil. There was some mystery there, that, and I think we'll get to that in the next coming chapters or two. We'll get to it when we start reading the book. I read the book several years ago now, so it's kind of hazy. So it's wonderful to reread it and remember what was said. But that's what I remember, but we'll find out.
Well, you know, Enlil may have granted it, but it was only after, we'll see, Enki makes a certain confession about Noah. So I'm going to give you a little background, and then Janet will read from the Lost Book of Enki by Zechariah Sitchin. So, about 13,000 years ago, before the Great Flood, obviously, Enki, who was the chief scientist for the gold mining expedition from Nibiru, really was hot for, lusted for, a woman named Batanash. Batanash was the wife of one of Enki's descendants, a guy named Lumak. And Lumak, or Lumarch, I don't know how to pronounce it, Lumarch, I'll call him, was the workmaster of all the earthlings in Iraq, in the area that's known as Eden. And so whatever the Anunnaki wanted the human laborers, the slaves, to do, they would have Lumach put that on to them and have them to do it. Now, Enlil really hated us hybrids, and he kept trying to make the earthlings work more and more and more and eat less and less food. And the person that was enforcing all this stuff was Lumach. Well, the earthlings started to hate this guy. And they even started threatening to kill him because he was making them work more and get less and less food to eat and so forth. Okay, so Enki, who is in charge ultimately of all these of Lumak and all his workers, said he'd better protect Lumak and Batanash too. So Enki sent Lumak to Marduk, to his that's to Enki's son in Babylon. So he gets the husband out of the way. The idea is that Marduk would teach Lumak how to build cities, and he did, and that's going to be important too. But in order to protect Batanash, Enki sent her to his sister Nimaz at the medical complex at Shurubak. That's the name of the medical center. And this is quotes from the angry earthling masses, protected and safe to be. Thereafter, Enki, Nimaz, Shurubak was quick to visit. On the roof of a dwelling where Batanash was bathing, Enki, quotes, by her loins took her hold, kissed her, his semen into her womb he poured. From this encounter, she bore Noah, or Ziasutra, as he was called. Now, when Lumash returned from studying with Marduk, he came back to Eden, quotes, to him, Batanash, the sun showed. White as snow his skin was. Like the skies were his eyes. In a brilliance his eyes were shining. Lumach complained. A son unlike an earthling to Batanash was born. Is one of the astronauts from Nibiru his father? Batanash, in a parsing worthy of Bill Clinton, swore, oh, none of the astronauts fathered him. And then Lumach's father said, listen, Ziasutra, is going to be a very important person, is what Lumach's father told him. He's, the earthlings are going to follow him. He's going to lead to a new age. And so the father was somehow in on what Enki had planned to do, or at least sensed it. Now, Nima really loved and took care of Ziasutra. She just, like it was, you know, it was her brother's son, really. And Enki taught Ziasutra to read all of Adapa's writings. Now, Adapa had been Enki's special project. He had lived over 1,000 years, and Enki had educated him and had him write down all the stuff he knew. So Ziasutra was the most educated human being. There was no one even near him. Now, what started happening is Earth came into a bad time. This is around 13,000 years ago. The crops dried up. The earthlings starved. There was plagues that killed lots of people. Diseases overcame the humans. But Nimaz said, let us the earthlings curing teach how themselves to remedy. So Nimaz, basically, is saying, well, look, we've got all this knowledge. Let's teach them, and then they won't die from diseases. But Commander Enlil, who hated the humans, refused. He said, let the earthlings by hunger and pestilence perish. In his mind, Enlil knew that the Anunnaki were getting ready to leave Earth, that there was going to be a terrible disaster when the Antarctic ice sheet slid into the South Sea and caused over 120 days of vast flooding all over the earth. He knew this was coming down and that he was going to take the Nibirans back to Nibiru. They got the gold they wanted, and if starvation and diseases didn't finish the humans, as far as Enlil, who of course becomes Yahweh, said, okay, let's just let them all drown. Well, nothing grew, and the winds, the heat, and the drought haunted the humans. And then the earth started to shake, and it started shaking more and more and more. Enki asked the commander, the earthlings, let us show the dredging of ponds and canals for surviving drought and famine. In other words, I want to show them how to survive, how to make sure that they don't die. But Enlil, the commander, sneered, you thwarted my orders, and the earthlings were created. Marduk, your eldest, and the Ajiji with their armies, now they're breeding. The daughters of Adapa. There's all these astronaut humans, and there's lots of them. No ponds, no canals. For Marduk, no more soldiers. Let them starve. Every one of them. When we, sated with Earth's gold, return to Nibiru, leave no earthling subjects for Marduk, no force for him, the home planet, to invade. In other words, what Enlil was afraid of, and Anu was really king, Anu back in Nibiru with him, is Marduk had married Sarpanit, a earthling, and he was aligned with Shamgaz, who was head of the astronaut corps, and they took over the landing platform in Lebanon, and Enlil realized that Marduk was taking over. He had so Enlil had his son Ninurta build another spaceport at the top of the Andes and Nazca, and because he knew they were going to get off, and it was his idea. He wanted this illegal species, that's us, to all drown, and he absolutely made sure that that was going to happen. Now, the earthlings at Sharubak, where Ziasutra lived under Enki and Nimma's tutelage, sent Ziasutra to Enki in the Persian Gulf. Please, please do something. But Enki said he couldn't openly help them because Commander Enlil had forbidden them. But he said, the policy of Enlil protest. Boycott the worshipping of the gods. So he told Ziasutra Noah, listen, the commander, I can't come out against him, but you don't have to keep supporting them. Enki secretly fed the earthlings from his corn, and he gave them access to the seas, and he taught them how to fish there. He was really trying to make them survive, whereas Enlil was trying to kill them all. So Enlil confronted Enki, but Enki said, I don't know how the earthlings learned how to fish in the ocean. Unable, then, to starve the earthlings to extinction, Enlil planned to let Nibiru's next nearing, that's called perigee, destroy them. After each 3,000, the way this works, every 3,600 years, Nibiru comes closest to our sun, and it makes all these volcanoes on Nibiru, and it makes huge flares on the sun. It disturbs the atmosphere on Mars and Earth, and things are really getting very, very bad now that Noah, Ziasutra, has grown into a young man and then a middle-aged man. And Enki's son, who ran the weather station down at the bottom of South Africa, said that the Antarctic ice sheet was slipping in the ocean, and the very next time Nibiru came by, which is going to be 13,000 years from now, this ice was going to slip into the South Sea, and great surges would reverberate and inundate all Earth except for the great peaks. Enlil said, we've sent enough gold to the home planet. We're all going to go home. Let the sea drown these darn earthlings. Okay, now here's what Enki says.
We're going to take a brief commercial break, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Hi, we're back. This is Janet Kier-Lesson and Dr. Sasha Lesson. We're now going to read from the ninth tablet of the Lost Book of Enki.
Starts with there.
Starting right here. In the Eden, Umash was the workmaster. Quotus to enforce was his duty. The Earthling's rations to reduce was his task. His spouse was Batanash, the daughter of Lumash's father. Father's brother, she was.
Oh, it's his father's brother, his
father's
uncle.
Brother.
Uh-huh, I got it wrong, yeah.
Of a beauty outstanding she was. By her beauty was Enki charmed. Enki to his son Marduk a word did send. To your domain Lumash do summon. How by earthlings a city to build there him teach. And when Lumash to the domain of Marduk was summoned, to the household of Nimma and Cherubach, the haven city, his spouse Batanash he brought. From the angry earthling masses protected and safe to be. Thereafter Enki, his sister Nimma and Cherubach was quick to visit. Excuse me. On the roof of a dwelling where Batanash was bathing, Enki by her loins took her. He kissed her. His semen into her womb he poured. With the child Batanash was, her belly was truly swelling. To Lumash from Cherubach word was sent. To the Eden return, a son you have. To the Eden, to Cherubach, Lumash returned. To him Batanash the son showed. White as the snow his skin was, the color of wool was his hair. Like the skies were his eyes, in a brilliance were his eyes shining. Amazed and frightened was Lumash. To his father, Matushal, he hurried. A son unlike an earthling to Batanash was born. By his birth greatly puzzled I am. Matushal to Batanash came. The newborn boy he saw. By his likeness amazed he was. Is one of the Ajiji the boy's father? Of Batanash, Matushal, the truth demanded.
Ajiji are the astronauts.
Right, they're the Martians. To Lumash, your spouse, whether this boy, his son is the truth reveal. None of the Ajiji is the boy's father. Of this upon my life I swear, so did Batanash him answer. Of course it was Enki, and he wasn't one of the Ajiji, ha ha. Excuse me. To his son, Lumash, Matushal then turned a calming arm on his shoulders he put. A mystery the boy is, but in his oddness an omen to you is revealed. Unique he is, for a task unique by destiny he was chosen. What a task is, I know not. In time appropriate, known it shall become. So was Matushal to his son Lumash saying, to what on earth was transpiring he was alluding.
In those days, the suffering on earth was increasing. The days colder grew. The skies, their rains were holding back. Fields, their crops diminished. In the sheepfolds, ewe lambs were few. But the son to you born, unusual as he is, an omen be that a respite is coming. So did Matushal to his son Lumash say. Let respite be his name. To Matushal and Lumash, Batanash, her son's secret, did not reveal. Ziasutra, he of the long, bright life days, she called him, Ziasutra. In Shabarak, Cherubach, he was raised. That's in the medical center. Nimma, on the child her protection and affection bestowed. Of much understanding, Ziasutra was endowed. With knowledge, he was by Nimma got provided. Enki, Ziasutra greatly adored. To read the writings of Adapa, he taught. The priestly rites, how to observe and perform, the boy, as a young man, learned. In the 110th Shar, rotation of Nibiru, around its primary nemesis, was Ziasutra born. In Cherubach, he grew up and espoused Amzara, and Amzara bore him three sons, and we'll come back to those sons. in his days, the sufferings of earth intensified. Plagues and starvations grew. And we are going to leave you with this. Rains are going to come, and the flood is going to come, and tune in next time and find out what happens.
Well, I wanted to talk a wee little bit about that before we sign off.
Okay.
Come closer here. So the hype on 12/21/12 that didn't happen, and I think what they were alluding to is that there is this time where they have these great earth changes.
You mean the harmonica virgins didn't play?
No, that was in 1984. But there is a time when Nibiru returns, and Nibiru's return does not always bring great trials and tribulations to the earth, because we're talking about the 110th Shar. And that was since the Anunnaki started counting the years. You know, they came here 450,000 years ago. So that was 110 times Nibiru had come through. And so here it was a time where they were going to have a great catastrophe. So it doesn't happen every time. So this whole hype around 12/21/12, it may not happen this time.
21/12 wasn't even when Nibiru was coming. Nibiru is in Sagittarius. It's what was coming through is the Lagrange points at 180 degrees along the orbital path of Nibiru.
Can you explain what Lagrange points are, honey?
Yes, every planetary body that goes around a primary, or goes around a star. In this case, Nibiru goes around a star, and it's called Nemesis, a sub-dwarf dark star. But in any case, every time it goes around, it has a path. That path is called its ecliptic or orbit. And when Nibiru and its moons crashed into the proto-Earth, Tiamat, and created the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter, and knocked Earth into its present orbit between Venus and Mars, all the asteroids and the comets and all these things were scattered along the path. And gravity makes some of this detritus, some of the comets, some of the asteroid bits, stay at the same distance from the planet. So at 180 degrees away from Nibiru, as far from Nibiru as it can possibly get, is a whole bunch of junk, and there's a hole in the asteroids known as the Cooper Gap, and that's where we get all kinds of disturbances, objects, really sometimes big meteorites enough to cause extinction level events even, that come through, sometimes they come through and sometimes they don't, but that's what we just passed through, and that's what 2012 was, and Nibiru ain't going to be here for quite a while.
Do you have any idea how many, is it hundreds? I thought that Sitchin thought it was around 2100 that Nibiru returning.
Yeah, if it's in Sagittarius now, and that's halfway, you just say half of 36 is 18, right? So you can expect it in 180 years.
Yeah. Anyway,
1,800 in 1,800 years, whatever that would be. That's when Nibiru itself will come through, according to the calculations from Andy Lloyd.
So, do you think that this Noah's flood was caused by Nibiru's passing, or was it a passing of the extinction level event from the Lagrange points?
No, I think it was definitely Nibiru this time, because the descriptions that we'll be getting into next time make it very clear that it was Nibiru that was coming through. And when this comes through, it makes solar flares and the volcanoes. You can see it's building up and it's getting worse and worse. And Enki and these guys keep getting reports down from South Africa. My gosh. This, and you'll see that one of the proofs that the Anunnaki really were here is that after, as you'll see, the ice sheet did slide off, these guys accurately mapped the landmass under Antarctica. And, of course, by the time we come around 13,000 years from that event, it's covered with ice. And so it seemed like nonsense that there was supposedly a drawing of a continent underneath the ice sheet. But then when they did sonar and said, what is underneath this ice? It was exactly the way the Anunnaki mapped it. And that's some of the proof that the flood took place and that it was observed from the skies and an accurate map was made.
So we, in other words, we're not sure exactly what year, but perhaps we could calculate that if we know that this was 13,000 years
ago. It's not exactly the same also, because in the last pass, Nibiru came close to Uranus and they both affected each other. So now it's taking more time. It isn't just 3,600. It's something, it's more than that.
Could it be less?
Is it more?
Okay, so the planets.
Well, there's other things that are making it faster too, which is that all the orbits of all the planets are getting closer and tighter in towards Solaris, toward our sun. And Nibiru is coming closer too, and so is the dark star Nemesis, so that even though we may have factors that were slowing down from the last pass, we also have factors that are speeding things up because all of these planetary bodies don't have as far to travel.
So what we perhaps should explain to our listeners is that our solar system is a binary star. So can you explain to them why don't we see Nemesis, which is our twin star?
Yeah, so Nemesis is about 49 astronomical units out, and it is what's called a brown sub-dwarf star. That is, it has heat, but we can't pick it up directly because it's not bright at all. But it does give heat so that when Nibiru is going around it, Nibiru is warmed. But then when it moves away and it hasn't come near Solaris yet, Nibiru is really cold. And so it's out there. And Nibiru actually came through the inner solar system about 4 billion years ago, and all these collisions took place.
So isn't it true that the Nemesis can be detected by infrared telescopes?
Yes, the infrared telescopes have detected it, and all kinds of new gravitational disturbances that you can see in the outer planets, in Pluto, and some of the objects even further out, and especially in our probes that we've sent in the area, there's some big gravitational thing, and it's affecting everything in a certain way, and so people. Harrington at the U.S. Naval Observatory in Australia actually had really good information on Nibiru and its coming, and he went public at it before he was assassinated.
Well, there's all these things that are occurring that our secret governments are doing and our military, and they're building all these underground installations. I guess they're hoping that whatever it is going to happen, that the chosen ones that get to go to these underground installations will survive. And also there's that seed vault. Is that, where was that, Greenland, Iceland? Where's the seed vault? Oh, anyway, I forgot where it is. There's a seed vault. I think it's Iceland or something. And maybe it's Greenland. But anyway, they have... the government took and made this giant seed vault to preserve the seeds of the earth. And I'm sure they have the genetic starts for other beings, animals and that type of things, because now we have cloning and all that stuff.
Well, you'll see next episode that Enki and Nima actually had a seed vault right there in Basara. A diorite chamber where they kept the genetic starts for all kinds of plants, and they had sperm for sheep and stuff like that. I don't want to get ahead of the story.
Yeah, we don't want to give away everything.
But you, from right now, you can just wonder, how the hell did they get two elephants and two giraffes and two tigers on the same boat?
All right, I think that's it for today. Thank you for joining us. Once again, this is Aquarian Radio. Join us on AquarianRadio.com. We also post a lot of the articles on EnkiSpeaks.com. That's EnkiSpeaks.com. And join us again.
There's a book if you're really interested in the Anunnaki.
Yeah. Dr. Lesson wrote a book called Anunnaki Gods No More. And it's available on Amazon and at many other online bookstores. So just Google it, Anunnaki Gods No More by Dr. Sasha Alex Lesson. Okay, I think we're done for today. Thank you for joining us, and aloha from Maui.
Aloha.
Thanks for joining us today on Aquarian Radio. We broadcast daily and are scheduled on AquarianRadio.com. Listen live by calling 646-649-0893, or you can listen live by calling 646-649-0893, or listen to our archives on AquarianRadio.com. Join us again soon, and do tell your friends, the age of Aquarius and the paradigm of peace is now.
Aloha, this is Enki. You know me as Aquarius, and this is our age, the Satya Yuga. Time to celebrate with us. We have programs on all chakra tantra, love styles and relationship choices, counseling strategies and techniques that you can use at home. We have extraterrestrial radio, where we deal with alienology, paranormal people, and we have an experiencers network. We have a section called Ancient Aliens, and the programs therein are Enki Speaks, Nimma, the Mother of Humanity, has her program, and we revise ancient anthropology. And most important of all, we have peace paradigms, because this is the age of peace. Harmony and understanding, sympathy and love abound. No more falsehoods or derisions, mystic crystal dreams and visions.
And this has been another episode here at AquarianRadio.com.
AquarianRadio.com.